Good morning.
Hallelujah.
Again, let's pray. Lord, we come to you this morning. We love you. We also love your great salvation that you have given us.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, we just realize we are those really under your grace.
Yes.
Lord, so this morning we want to give our great appreciation to you.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, as we come to your word again, Lord, speak again to us.
Yes.
We need you. We need your word. We need your enlightening.
Yeah.
We need your guiding. We need your directing.
Yeah.
We even need your warning.
Amen.
Lord, be with us this morning.
Yes.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So, last session, we got into this matter of Noah, because Noah is the next person in our line. And we also mentioned that sin had taken hold of man, and there's this degradation, this slow decline, maybe fast decline, but anyway, there's this decline, regression. Sin is growing till we get to the point of Noah. So let's go back again to Genesis chapter 6, starting at verse 5. Here we go. The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord regretted that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him to his heart. So the Lord said, I will blot out man whom I have created from the face of the land, man and animals and creeping things and birds of the heavens, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found favor or grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation. Noah walked with God. And Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, verse 11. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight, and the earth was filled with violence. And God saw the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted their way in the earth. And God said to Noah, I have determined to make an end of all flesh, for the earth is filled with violence through them. Behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Verse 14. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark, covered inside and out with ark. Go to 17. Verse 17. Next one. For behold, I will bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh in which is a breath of life under heaven. Everything that is on the earth shall die. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall come into the ark, you, your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you. And of every living thing of all flesh, you shall bring two of every sort into the ark to keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female. Okay, let's stop there with our reading. We kind of ended with this matter that Noah walked with God and Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. I'd like to read you this little quote from Packer I found this week when I was reading with a brother. Grace, what is grace? Listen carefully. Grace, I've shortened it because it was a real long sentence. Grace is a personal activity. And that personal activity is God operating in love toward people. God operating in love toward people. That's grace. God operated in love to Noah. And that's why Noah was able to receive grace from God. God was operating in Noah. On the one hand, God, the whole situation of the earth was such that sin, evil, violence was rampant. But there was a man who responded to the love and kindness of God. As a result, he had a life walking with God. As he was walking with God, he had a godly life, a godly living. Therefore, the Bible calls him righteous and blameless in his generation. And we mentioned in the last session, that means that in comparison to everybody else in his generation, Noah was righteous and Noah was blameless. And we'll see later on that Noah was a man of faith. But before we get there, let's Let's come to another verse. And this is from the New Testament, Matthew 24, 37 to 39. It's a very interesting verse because it gives us some enlightenment concerning the days of Noah. Verse 37 says, "For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man." So, the days of Noah had a certain characteristic. It'll be the same when the Son of Man comes again. The Son of Man has not yet come again. Okay, so, "For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days, before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark." 39. "And they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man." Now, what's interesting about these three verses is this. This is Jesus' word speaking concerning his second coming. And he said, "When I come again, it will be the same as in the days of Noah." That little phrase, "the days of Noah," means a lot. It means what? It means everything that we read from Genesis chapter 6. So the Lord, all he had to say was these four words, "the days of Noah." And right away, all the Jewish people would have understand he means Genesis chapter 6 and Genesis chapter 7 and Genesis chapter 8 and Genesis chapter 9. That's all in four words. Four words have become four chapters. In other words, on the one hand, they're doing all normal things. Eating, drinking. Yeah, we all got to eat. We all got to drink. It doesn't necessarily mean it's evil. You stop eating, you're going to die, right? So you got to eat and you got to drink. Okay. And marrying and giving in marriage. That's not meaning marriage is sinful. No, marriage is not sinful. It's ordained by God. But they're doing all these normal things and what? They are unaware. Unaware of what? Unaware of what they are living in. They're unaware of the whole society they're living in. Okay. They're living in a society of evil, of violence, of corruption, and they're not aware. Let me ask you, is today the same as the days of Noah? Of course, you know the answer is supposed to be yes. But the question is, do you believe it? So, I asked this question on Friday night to some of the college students because I had heard via Ian about the high school students. You know, today's young people are extremely connected, right? Connected, internet, texting, iPad, iPod, whatever. All the phones, you're texting, you're tweeting, you're... what else? You're Googling, you're Facebooking. Instagramming, yes. Okay, all these things. But I'm afraid you don't even know what's going on in the world. Okay, let me just ask you this. Do you know what's happening in the Ukraine? Ukraine? Do you know where the Ukraine is? I'm just going to give you a few examples. Ukraine. What's the situation in Ukraine? Let me ask you, is there hope for the country of Ukraine? For those of you who have been listening or reading the news. And for those of you who haven't, maybe it's time to start reading the news. Ukraine basically is in a mess. Is there hope? I really don't know. They just elected a new president. They still have violence. People still are getting killed. People, they're still civil unrest. What about Syria? What about the country of Syria? Is there hope in Syria? 160,000 people. Listen, 160,000 people in Syria have died since the civil war has been going on. And it's not over. And probably there are millions of Syrians who are living in exile. Why? Because their country is not safe to live in. You want to stay there to see your house bombed? What about Nigeria? What about Nigeria? Yeah. Do you know Nigeria? There's over 200 girls that were taken out of school, kidnapped, and they're somewhere in Nigeria. I think it's still in Nigeria. They're somewhere, and you know what? Get this. The government knows exactly where they are, and they're not doing anything about it. That's corruption. The army and the government can't agree on how to rescue these girls. They know exactly where they are. I'm not done. Pakistan. How would you like to live in Pakistan? You know the most recent news item in Pakistan, I hope, this week? A woman. What happened was a man and a woman got married, okay? But the woman did not marry the person the family wanted her to marry. And so there was a court case about this. And so the husband and his wife went to court to prove that this was a legitimate marriage. It wasn't a forced marriage. On the steps of the courthouse, the woman was killed by her family and others. They found bricks at a construction site and they basically stoned her to death. On the steps of the courthouse. The father was arrested, and now a few more people have been arrested since then. But the policy and the way it works in Pakistan is this. If a family member of a murdered victim forgives the murderer, they go scot-free. Guess what's going to happen? And just to add to all the complication, if you read in the news, if you've read in the news, you'll find out that the husband of the murdered woman had murdered his first wife. Now, last year, 2013, 869 women were killed in this manner. But those are the only numbers that were reported. There's probably 1,000 more. China. China is not even immune to terrorist activities either, right? In March of this year, there was a terrorist attack in China, killing 28 people. One incident, 28 people died. What country is safe? You say, Toronto is safe. Okay, what happened to Toronto this week? This week, the police arrested 100 people on multiple charges of weapons possessions, drug trafficking, etc. They're basically going after two gangs that were kind of on the rise. I'll let you figure out. You go to the internet, find out the names of those two gangs. California. I think also this week, right? A young man who's got mental issues, unfortunately. Even his parents warned the police. It seems like the police were not able to do anything. And this young man goes, kill six people and then himself on a university campus. On Friday night, this is the more recent news, right? I don't know if you've read the news yesterday or this morning. On Friday night, there was some shooting going on in Rexdale. Okay? Four people got shot. Again, some gunfire, crossfire. 6:30 in the evening. It's still daylight, broad daylight. Okay? And this is in a court common area. People, families are there. People exchanging gunfire. Four people get shot. Two of the people taken to Etobicoke General Hospital. Guess what happens? The guys with the guns go there too. And they had to lock down the hospital. And then because of that, one was seriously injured. They had to transfer them to Sunnybrook Hospital because that's the trauma center. And because they were taken to Sunnybrook Hospital, the police surrounded and locked down that hospital as a safety precaution. As in the days of Noah. We are living in the days of Noah. But are you aware? Are you unaware? Are you aware or are you unaware? Judgment is coming. Not only is the age evil and corrupt and full of violence, but judgment is coming. Just as it was in the days of Noah, judgment is coming. Noah got the word from God because he was walking with God. And he did something about it. So we come to Hebrews chapter 11. Noah, a man of faith. Hebrews 11, verse 7 says this. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear, constructed an ark for the saving of his household. Not just himself, but his household. By this, by what? By his faith. By living by faith, he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. Noah lived by faith. God, first of all, says God warned him. He was warned by God concerning events as yet unseen. Yes, God told Noah, I'm going to judge the earth. Didn't happen for another 100 years. God gave Noah time to build that ark, to prepare the ark for what? For the saving of his household. Noah just didn't take care. Well, I'm just going to save myself. Why do I need a big boat? All I need is a little dinghy for myself. No, God prepared an ark for the saving of his household. Are we concerned about our households? Parents, do you pray for your children? Do you pray for their salvation? For their continual salvation? God cares about our households. So we shouldn't think, well, as long as I'm taking care of myself and as long as my kids study hard and become a doctor and then become a lawyer, make lots of money and support me in my old age, then I'm taken care of. What about your household's salvation? Noah took care of his household. And I don't think Noah built the ark by himself. At least he had three sons. And maybe even his daughter-in-laws helped build the ark too. Who knows? I don't know. The movies, you know, they say all kinds of things. Who knows what they add, all their little stuff. But Noah did what? Noah was warned by God, and Noah took God's way of salvation. God's way of salvation was build an ark. What did Noah do? Noah obeyed. Noah got God's word. Noah obeyed God's word, and by faith and by grace, Noah acted on God's word. There's a verse in Titus chapter 2. I really like this concerning grace. Titus 2, For the grace of God has appeared. Grace came to Noah. Grace has come to us as well. Okay? And what is grace? Grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people. Verse 12, training us to what? To renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. When God gives grace, He's not just doling out grace like people dole out chocolate. God gives grace with a certain expectation that we would respond. Noah responded to God's grace. Noah found grace. Noah responded to God's grace by what? Building the ark. So that's why Hebrews tells us by faith, Noah, being warned by God, even God's warning to Noah was grace. But these verses, grace what? There's an expectation grace will have a result when it's given to us. What does grace do? Grace trains us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope. We have received grace. But there should be an evidence of grace. This doesn't mean our salvation is by works. No, but God has given us grace. There should be a difference. One author I was reading this week, he uses this word, kind of was cutting, I found. He says, are you a cosmetic Christian? And what his point is this, do you just have a veneer, not even skin deep, of being a Christian? Or has Christ changed your life to make you a different person? For example, last Sunday, at two different occasions, two different times, in our parking lot, two different vehicles were scratched. One a little bit more than the other. Now, whether or not the person who did the scratching knew what they did or not, I don't know. Only God knows and they know. But the people who got the scratched cars, there was no note left on their window. They don't know who did it. But let me ask you this. Isn't it right that if we damage somebody else's vehicle, we should either wait till they come, or we should leave a note on their windshield saying, I'm sorry, I scratched your car. Here's my phone number. Please call me. Isn't that right? Yeah, that's right. That's righteous. So, let me ask you, is grace working in you? Are you letting grace operate in you? To what? To train you to renounce ungodliness, worldly passions, to live a self-controlled, upright, and godly life. Or are we just like everybody else? And this brings us to the last point with Noah. Noah what? Noah was a herald or a proclaimer of righteousness. 2 Peter 2:5 says, He, that is God, did not spare the ancient world, but preserved Noah, a herald of righteousness. Noah was a herald of righteousness. Means while he was building the ark, he was telling people, you know what? People would come up to him probably and say, Noah, what are you doing? I'm building an ark. What for? God's going to judge the world. Are you crazy? No. God's going to judge the world. He's a herald of righteousness. Not only was his living a righteous living, but his speaking also portrayed righteousness. Of course, what did this do? This condemned the world, as Hebrews 11 says. Noah condemned the world. Noah didn't embrace the world. No, he says, the world's going to be judged, letting you know the world's condemned. Our life should be different. Amen. Our living should be different. Sometimes it hurts when something happens concerning car scratching. I know my son had this experience years ago when we were living in Halifax. He drove to work one morning and the parking lot was an ice rink. And when he put the brakes on, the car wouldn't stop. And he hit another car. He felt sick. But anyway, he left his information on the windshield of the other car. The person called him and said, "Thank you so much for doing that." He said, "Just give me $800 and I'll get it fixed." For my son, he was relieved on the one hand. On the other hand, he has to work for a whole week just to pay that off.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, sometimes being righteous hurts. It's not always convenient. In fact, most times to be righteous is not convenient. But this is God's way. This is the way of grace. That we would live a life by faith as Noah did. Noah was not sinless. But he found grace. He walked by faith. He lived before God. And he was a proclaimer of righteousness. We're going to have the Lord's table now as they come up. Let's just pray.
Amen.
Lord, we realize many times we do fall short. We have trouble with many aspects of our life. Lord, forgive us. At the same time, Lord, we tell you we do really have a desire to let grace work, let grace operate in us, let grace train us, let grace bring us to a life of living by faith as Noah lived by faith. Lord, we don't want to be unaware of the world that we live in, that this world is condemned, that this world will be judged. Lord, we like to prepare a salvation, not just for ourselves individually, but for our households. Lord, have mercy on us. Thank you for your salvation. Thank you, there is a way of salvation. And thank you, Lord, that you are the way of salvation. You are the ark. You're the one saving us. You're the one rescuing us out of this present evil age. So, Lord, as we come to the table, we just like to remember you. We like to worship you. We like to give you our deep, deep appreciation and thanksgiving that you sacrificed yourself for us, that we could have your life, that we could be rescued from the coming judgment. In Jesus' name, amen.